Please turn over in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. Last week we took a break to preach on this Isaiah 53, and I kind of got stuck there. But as we are studying the Ten Commandments in our second hour class, I thought it would be helpful this morning to look at an aspect of the fourth commandment, to remember the Sabbath day, as is given in Isaiah chapter 58. So this morning we're going to focus upon Isaiah 58, verses 13 through 16. And I'm going to risk our time here to read the whole passage, but I think that it's important to read this whole passage so that we might get a glimpse and understanding of the context that bears upon verses 13 and 14. So I'll begin reading in chapter 58, verse 1 of the prophecy of Isaiah. "Cry aloud, do not hold back, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgments of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness? To undo the straps of the yoke? To let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then you shall light. Then you shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, 'Here I am.' If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of your fingers and speaking wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up from the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to dwell in. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you shall delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Would you please pray briefly again with me? Our Father, we sung that we love your law, we love your word, we long that you might write it on our hearts. And so we ask for your blessing on this means of grace, We pray that your Spirit would give us soft hearts and would write your word upon them, conforming us into the image of Christ for your glory. We pray this in his name. Amen. Well, with the Super Bowl behind us this week, we won't be missing Monday night football. You laugh. You should be very thankful, because considering that our calendars say that tomorrow is Valentine's Day, that's a good thing. Tomorrow is our national date night. We're supposed to take our wives out on a romantic evening away from our families, away from our jobs, away from our children, that we might just look in her eyes and delight in her, and that she might delight in us. But you might ask me, am I just trying to joke around? What do Monday Night Football and Valentine's Day have to do with Isaiah 58? Think about that for a minute. Well, let me kind of help you along. What would happen if Valentine's Day fell on the same night of one of the NFL playoff games? Maybe that'll put it in perspective. The waitresses in all the restaurants would walk by gazing at the hall to the men's restroom, because they'd see lines of guys gathered outside the men's room because they've all snuck away to check the score on their smartphones. But the point is not just to laugh and make jokes. The point is to put yourself in the situation. Put yourself in that situation. How would the night end if your wife realized that you'd rather be watching that playoff game than spending a few hours with her? You know the answer to that question. It wouldn't end well. You would become very familiar with the couch that evening. But the irony of the situation is that if you would only give her your whole heart for just a few hours, one night, now and then, she would return a love back to you for your whole life. A love that would pour out blessings upon you that would far exceed a few hours with the guys watching a playoff game. You see, Isaiah places the Sabbath in this context. Through the inspiration of the Spirit, Isaiah places the Sabbath in the context of one of the nights where you would want to watch a playoff game. Only the date is the Lord. And the question concerns your love for him. And in this passage, the Lord makes us ask the question, what is the true devotion of our hearts? Do we delight in the Lord, or would we rather just watch the playoffs? Or fill in your blank, whatever it is that your heart desires. In this passage, the Lord, he challenges the affections of our hearts toward the Sabbath and toward him. You see, the Sabbath, it requires a pure devotion of the Lord. It requires our whole heart. The reason the Lord focuses upon Israel keeping the Sabbath in this whole book of Isaiah is that the Sabbath is a measure of their heart and their love for him. The way you treat the Lord's day or the Christian Sabbath, and I'll use those terms to mean the same thing. The way you treat the Lord's day reveals what you really feel about the Lord in comparison to yourself. And so what we're going to do is walk through this short passage and hopefully be challenged to a greater love for our Lord, a greater devotion that flows out of a redeemed heart who knows the salvation and the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Our outline in the bulletin begins with the first point, delight in the Lord's day and a call to repentance. And so we see this call at the very beginning of verse 13. There the Lord says, if you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasures on my holy day. You see, he uses this poetic, vivid picture of the way to describe the way the church has neglected the Sabbath day. The wording, it's a little bit awkward, but what it means is that Israel was stomping on the Sabbath, walking upon it, somewhat like you'd walk on an old newspaper that you'd see in your path on the sidewalk. Yesterday, everyone wanted to read the headlines, but today, its best use is to line the floor of a birdcage. We also see how the Sabbath, how they were neglecting the Sabbath. Not just principally, or we don't just get the picture, but the Lord also gives you more specific details. They were doing their own pleasure on the Lord's day. This simply means that they were occupying themselves with their own interests, their own purposes, their own recreation on the Lord's day. They were using the Lord's day for their own pleasure and to pursue their own desires. And as we contemplate what the Lord is saying, we need to ask the question. I mean, and it's a real question. Why is it so bad to seek our own pleasures, our own purposes on the Lord's day? Well, the answer is fairly simple. It's in the name. The day belongs to the Lord. It's His holy day. To be holy in the Old Testament. And when the Lord calls something holy in this context, He means that He set it apart from everything else. And when He says, my holy day, and calls the Sabbath His holy day, what He means is that He set it apart, that one day in seven, from the other six. He's given us 6 days for our own pleasures, our own work, for whatever is lawful, to pursue those things and take delight in our work and our recreation. But He's claimed one day for His use. One day that we might set aside for Him, and He's jealous that we keep His day holy. Well, a lot of times the questions we ask are, you know, what do I do and what do I don't do? And maybe we focus, what do you don't do? What shall we not do on the Sabbath? But you see, the specific activities are not the main issue here. In this passage, the first point and concern the Lord has is not what you're doing and what you're not doing. The issue is that the church has a heart problem. The people of God, His very own redeemed people, have a heart problem. They'd rather be spending the Sabbath pursuing their own pleasures because they don't value the Lord's day or the Lord's will. And so what He does here in the beginning of this verse is he calls them to repent from this sinful condition of their hearts, and to call the Sabbath a delight. The actual things we do on the Sabbath, they really are important, because what we do flows out of our heart, but the Lord's concern is your heart. The Valentine's Day date is important to your wife, but it means nothing if you'd rather be somewhere else. And so what does it mean to call the Sabbath a delight? Well, in our context here, this verb that Isaiah uses to call, it means to name the Sabbath or to acknowledge something about the Sabbath. For example, you might say, I might say, trail running is fun. Someone else might say, chocolate is wonderful, or my wife is beautiful. So you see, in the context here, to call means to express what you really feel about the Lord's Sabbath. And how is it that we're to feel? How should we feel about the Sabbath? The Lord says to call the Sabbath a delight. That means to call it something delicate. To call it a luxury, and just to say delight is flat. Really, the Hebrew word, it means it's an exquisite delight. It's something that you find intensely pleasing, like, you know, like a chocolate truffle or a kiss from your sweetheart. The nervousness that you get and the excitement is you get to kiss your wife after you said, "I do." It's that exquisite delight. It's something delicate that you would handle with care, you would protect from harm or misuse, because you don't want to break it. You don't want to dampen it or damage it. You build a shadow box and keep it in there so your kids won't knock it off the shelf with a ball. It's a luxury that you don't deserve. It's a luxury that you appreciate immensely. You see, the command is to delight your whole heart in the Sabbath. It's to set aside all your desires for just one day a week and keep the Lord's day, well, because you want to. Because your heart desires to keep it. This delight is totally opposite from the way we often somber or mope around regretting that we can't be outside doing something else. But just to bring this back to perspective, to something that we can surely comprehend and relate to, think about what you would do or what you have done for your wife before your fiancé. If you have to, remember back when your love burned hot. Think about those days when you gave her that ring, or those first months of marriage. Wouldn't you do anything for her? Wouldn't you go anywhere with her? You would delight in things like high tea and chicken salad in the afternoon when it would be good to go on a bike ride. You'd delight to shop for linens, or even worse, you delight to watch Pride and Prejudice for 6 hours, and you'd find joy in your heart. You may have seen women or girls who are smitten with their man, and they do heroic things. I mean, heroic things that a person with that stature should never attempt. You're like skydiving, downhill mountain bike racing, or watching hours of college football, or worse yet, even golf. Watching golf, not playing golf. But the point is, she does it for one reason. She does it because she loves him. And she enjoys what he enjoys because she loves him. The Lord calls us to something similar in the Sabbath. We are to find great delight in the Lord's day for one reason, because we love the Lord. Our heart should be like this. We truly love the Lord, therefore we truly love what is his, even his day. And so think about how the affection for the Lord's day is demonstrated in the Bible. We sing about it in Psalm 84, verse 10. There the psalmist placed on our lips these words, "For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere." I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. You see, these are the words of the righteous man. These are the words of the one that the Lord is building us up to be. These are the words of Christ. And this is the expression of the heart of one who contemplates the activities of the day of the Lord and the joy of gathering in his courts with his people. He'd rather be standing out by the door last week when it was -5 degrees, just so he could be with the people of God in his courts, than be in a mansion in the hills outside of Boulder with everything he wants. Psalm 122 says, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" The context here is a guy hanging out in the hills in his land, somewhere away from Jerusalem, and the Sabbath day has come, or one of the feast days have come. He's, you know, doing some work. He's reading a book. He's He's enjoying himself, and all of a sudden his friends or family say, hey, it's time to go to the Lord's house to worship. And what is his response? I was glad to hear them say, let us go to the house of the Lord. You see, we sing these psalms. But the question is, when you sing them, do you really mean the words that you say? The first concern of the Lord with the Sabbath and in this passage is that the Sabbath must be to us a delight because it leads us to God, not a burden that leads us away from our everyday life. You see, keeping the Sabbath is not about legalism or about earning merit. It's an expression of your faith. Keeping the Lord's day is a matter of the heart. But we all know that talk is cheap. And so it should be no surprise that the Lord calls you to something more radical than just a simple fuzzy feeling in your heart. He calls you to back up your delight and your love for Him with your words and with your actions. You see, our words and our actions, they flow out of our hearts. If the Sabbath is truly a delight to our hearts, our lives will reflect it. We will honor it with our lives. And he gives us three instructions how to honor the day. He doesn't just leave us to kind of make up our own way. But he reveals to us how we can glorify him. What ways in which he will be honored by our life and by our heart. And first he says, honor my day by not doing your own ways. Now, again, the language is a little cumbersome or maybe a little difficult, but it is clear. You see, in the Bible, our ways, it refers to literally the path we follow. So it refers to a road or a path or a trail you follow, literally. But it's also used figuratively to refer to the way we live our lives or what we normally do in our lives. And so in the word doing or going, and the word, if it's your translation says going, it's fine, but doing is a little better translation. Doing means your work. It means what you make, what you do, what you accomplish during your week. And so we honor the Lord's day by setting aside the normal business of our lives that's lawful and right and good and righteous the other 6 days of the week. And we set it aside one day a week in the name of the Lord. And the question we might ask is, why do we find it so hard to give just one day back to the Lord who has given us six? Well, we shouldn't just stop at, what should we, at saying the don'ts, what should you not do. We need to be instructed on what we should do. And in the Sabbath, we are supposed to ask the question, what are God's ways? If we're not to go be doing our own ways, what are God's ways? Well, we're to honor it by making the day a holy convocation, spending the whole day in exercises of public and private worship to the Lord. And so if we desire to glorify Christ, our Savior, we will keep His day holy and seek His ways on that day. The second instruction that the Lord gives us is that we honor the day not doing our own pleasures. In other words, we're to set aside our own agendas, our own recreation, our own amusements on that day. See, the Lord's day is to be different than all other days. When you wake up on all other days, it's right and true and lawful to ask, what do I do today? God gives them to you. He says, ask this question, what can I do today? But on the Sabbath, on the Lord's day, you should say, this is the Lord's day. I shall do His will. What would He have me do today? And you see, there is a stark contrast in Isaiah just a couple chapters earlier. In Isaiah 56:4, we see this positive duty performed by the eunuchs who keep the Sabbath. And so if you're someone that struggles with whether or not there is a Christian Sabbath, When you look back at Isaiah 56 and you see that eunuchs are keeping the Sabbath, you need to realize that Isaiah is talking about something bigger than the Old Testament church, bigger than the Old Testament worship, because the eunuchs, those eunuchs, you know what they are, these men, they're not allowed in the temple to worship in the Old Covenant. So Isaiah is looking beyond to the time of Christ in the New Covenant. And he describes this devotion in verse 4. He says, "For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant." You see, what an insult that must have been to Israel, who were supposed to be ceremonially clean, to be given the example. An example that comes from those who are unclean, who are not able or sanctified to go to the temple of the Lord. The Lord says, "Make my day holy, not doing your pleasure, but be like the eunuchs who choose to do what pleases me on that day." It's not a day for our own pleasure, our own recreation. Sometimes we misunderstand this. But, you know, a common question that we ask is what do we do about our children playing or mild exercise or that afternoon covenant nap that we like? We see the Lord's Day is to be a day where we focus on what pleases the Lord and in our private and public acts of worship. And so you've got to realize that it's not to be a burden. And in reality, our children's heads will explode and it will be a mess for the deacons if they don't run during the afternoon. If they don't get out and get some of that energy out, they're not going to make it through the evening service. You might find yourself, after a hard week of sitting and reading and thinking, you might find yourself dozing off as you read the scriptures on the afternoon of the Lord's Day. And so get up. Take a walk, do some mild exercise, get your heart pumping, or maybe you're just tired, and take a little nap so that that you might be refreshed to now pursue that which is good for you, that which the Lord calls for you to do. You see, all we should do, all we do on the Lord's Day, it should flow out of that heart that seeks to delight in His day, that seeks to delight and choose to do His purposes. And so these things, taking your kids to the park, taking a walk around the lake, taking a nap, they become a work of necessity so that we might give our attention to the Lord. The third instruction that the Lord gives us here is, honor my day by not talking idly. Now, it's kind of odd that he throws that in there. He says, don't go your way, don't pursue your own pleasures, and don't talk idly. As I've thought about how to explain this and really, what it means and its impact on our life, I think that there's a bigger picture symbolized here in our idle talk. What he's calling us to do is to actively engage in the purpose of the Lord's day. Actively engage in what the Lord has called us to. You see, you can stay away from the office, you can stay away from the golf course and the restaurants all day long without ever engaging in the purpose of the day. But the Lord, He expects more. You see, in our conversations, what we discuss with our brothers and sisters as we gather together, they reveal the real concerns and the real affections of our hearts. So our fellowship, as the Lord instructs, it should be engaged upon Christ and the gospel on the Lord's day. It doesn't mean that you can't ask about how your week was, or how was that run, that training run on Saturday, Alex, or whatever. But we should be engaged in the purpose of the day, and all that we do and all of our conversation and our fellowship should be focused upon Christ. Glorifying Him, building each other up. Because that's the purpose of the day. The Lord's Day is a matter of the heart. And I just have one more point to emphasize this. We read it in our call to worship.
See, Jesus said to his disciples, and he says to us, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So where does it start? Where does delighting in the Lord's day, delighting in any point of God's law or obedience to his will begin? It begins with the love of Jesus Christ, our Savior. If you love Christ, you will delight to keep whatever he commands. And so you would only keep the Lord's day because you delight in him. He doesn't call you to keep it. He doesn't call us to keep this one day in seven aside and set aside our whole life and our desires just to be a burden, just to earn some merit and place in heaven. What he does is he calls us to express his love for him, to set aside our own desires so that we might be with him on his day, just one day a week, and that it might be a joy and not a burden, so that we might delight in him. You see, we must recognize that the fourth commandment, to remember the Sabbath day, it takes a sacrifice on our part. But the Lord doesn't leave us wanting. He says, if you call the Sabbath a delight, then you will delight in the Lord. He doesn't leave us wanting. He doesn't leave us empty. Rather, he says he will fill us with delight in himself. In my mind, it kind of rings, the inheritance of the Levite rings, that he didn't receive a physical piece of land, but God said, I will be your inheritance. And the Lord guarantees this blessing with his word, words from his own mouth that do not lie. You see, what we find in the Sabbath day is our greatest pleasure and joy, although it seemed like a burden, it seemed like a chore, a pain to actually do it. It seemed like it would be a total drag, but the Sabbath rest, it brings us into the realm of heaven as we gather with his people and hear him speak to us in his word. It's a far superior place than the football arena. It's far superior than sitting across the table from your wife on Valentine's Day. And Jesus makes this point clear. He says that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath, it means that it was meant for God's good. And he's just pulling up and drawing upon that same principle, that same lesson, that same call that God has had throughout the scripture and has made clear here in Isaiah 58. You see, in Isaiah, in verse 14, Isaiah describes that great bounty and that great blessing that the Lord has for us if our hearts are so united in love for him that we will come and meet with him when he calls us. He uses this vivid language, like he says that you will ride on the heights of the earth and you will feed of the heritage of your father Jacob. What he's doing is he's painting a picture of the wonderful blessings of salvation that we have surely in Christ. We will delight in the Lord on the Sabbath because when we seek him on his day, the Lord brings us into his presence. He feeds to us the promises of his word and reminds us of the glorious message of the gospel. He communes with us. He dines with us in his supper, the Lord's supper, and he sends us out with the benediction, his sure blessing that his peace and his grace go with us. And as we come and we meet with him, we feed upon that mighty, wonderful feast of his covenant blessing. We will delight in the Lord because he will remind us of that greatest moment of joy in our lives. That moment when he lifted the weight of guilt from our shoulders and he removed it so far away from us as the east is from the west. He says, if you call the Sabbath delight, you shall delight in me. You shall delight in the Lord. This call in Isaiah, it's like that moment when you return from the bathroom, from checking the score on your smartphone. And she looks across the table at you with her big, beautiful eyes. And she reaches her hand out to touch your hand. And she says, please, honey, put it away. I only want one thing for these few short hours. I only want your whole heart. And you see, to use the relationship between husband and wife is entirely appropriate in the context of Isaiah, because the Lord is not beating us with a battle axe of his law. Rather, he's calling his people to himself as a husband woos his wife. Over and over, the Lord called our fathers in the Old Testament church to simply find refuge in him, to find joy in him, to find salvation in him alone. And all he wants is one thing. All he wanted was their whole heart. And if you take the time to read Isaiah 40 through 66, you will see in return he would give them the immeasurable riches of his love. The promises are framed in terms of heaven, the same language you would find of the description of heaven at the end of Revelation. The call was not just for the Old Testament church. The Lord is speaking to us through the prophet Isaiah, even today. And all Christ wants from you is your whole heart. He doesn't call you to remember his day, to earn any merit from him, because he has given you all the merit you need. He's given you his own righteousness. He's given you his own blood to pay the price of your sin. What he wants from you is your whole heart. He simply calls you to love him with a love that only comes from a sinner who's been redeemed by his grace through faith. He calls you to a love for him which will manifest itself in your life. Let us pray. Father, we ask that you might write your word upon our hearts. We pray that you would protect us from the law ever being a legalistic means of earning your pleasure or your favor. But we pray that you might write a love for Christ our Savior on our hearts that's so sincere, that bubbles over with so much richness and power, that because we love you, we long for what you love. We long to follow you where you lead, taking up our cross, laying down our lives and taking up our cross and following Jesus is never a chore. But the suffering that we endure in our union with Christ is our delight, because we delight to follow you where you will lead us. We ask this in the name of Christ, our Savior, your Son. Amen.